You're listening to Tassie and Counter's Moments on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and today David Maxwell is back with us, continuing our topic for this week, the three angels' messages, on our shorter programs, Tassie Encounters Moments. So welcome, David.
Thanks, Jason.
It's great to have you back, and we've been looking at Moses and the first angel's message and the second angel's message, and now we are finally up to the third angel's message. So great to have you here. And we have been asking a question, so just remember our show number today is 0488 880891, and you can claim the free book offer coming up later in the program. You can ask us a question. You can text us in. We'd love to hear from you. So keep that number handy somewhere.
Yeah, the personal challenge question. Have you ever received an urgent and pressing message, and what did you do about it?
Yeah.
Given we're looking at angels' messages, and it's Boxing Day today, you're opening, well, we don't open boxes on Boxing Day anymore.
We pack up our boxes, don't we?
We pack them up, don't we? It used to be opening the boxes.
Right, okay.
But as we think about God's gift to us, the patience and salvation he's given us, that's a good thing to think about at this time of the year. As people are focusing on Jesus, even though, as we said yesterday, it's not actually his birth date. We're pretty confident. Most commentators are pretty confident that's the case. But we've looked at the human impatience, we've looked at God's patience, and now we're going to look at the last of these messages, the third angel's message. And it's quite important because this message talks about the outcome of being in one group or the other, and whether you receive a mark or you reject a mark. So in a previous program, we looked at what the mark was. It was a sign of our outward evidence, or the sign of outward evidence of who we worship, shown by the way we worship. And today we want to explain briefly how you receive the mark and what happens if you refuse it. So for our last exposition of this topic, let's read together the passages that cover the third angel's message. This is in Revelation 14. 9 to 12, and then also just a couple of verses in Revelation 13. Could you read those for us, please?
Sure. We're reading from the New King James Version. So it says, "Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.'" And back in Revelation 13, verse 16 and 17, it says, "He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name."
That's a pretty dire warning against receiving the mark, don't you think?
Very strong warning.
And I think if we have a warning that's that strong, God must have a way for us to understand it, because it wouldn't be fair otherwise. So firstly, from what we read in chapter 14, if you receive the mark of the beast, you'll be included in those who miss out on heaven. Now, that's pretty harsh. But remember, we've seen that God's patient, and the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And, you know, God has done everything possible that we might be saved. We've seen that in a previous program also, that we have a choice as to whether or not we receive the mark. So in chapter 13, where the mark is explained at length, it says that the beast power makes people, that's another way of saying forces people, to receive it either on their right hand or on their foreheads. Now, if it was a physical stamp an implant or something like that, it would be easy to forcibly put it onto people, and that means everyone would miss out on heaven.
Mm.
Okay, so it can't be that. It must be something else, because you have a choice as to whether you receive it or not. So as we've explained previously, the hand or forehead actually symbolize how you receive it. What's behind your forehead, Jason?
Your mind.
Yes, there's a particular part of your mind.
Your brain, your frontal lobes.
Frontal lobes or frontal cortex.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Now, this area of your brain is responsible for your moral, emotional, and behavioral decisions. So given the mark is an outward sign of your inward decisions on how and who you worship, the evidence shown on your forehead is a willing, unforced decision that you've made. And so the things you do will give evidence for what is in your mind. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So throughout the Bible, the right hand was used to make or solidify decisions. So one example, there's lots of examples of this. We haven't got time for them all, but in Genesis 48, 13 to 14, as Jacob is dying, he blesses his sons, his grandsons, okay? And he puts his right hand on Joseph's one son and the left hand on the other son. And Joseph says, hey, you've got the hands on the wrong person. The younger one has your right hand. And he goes, that's correct. That's the way it has to be. The young one is going to get the blessing and the older one is going to serve the younger one. And so Joseph wasn't happy with that, but that's what Jacob did. He was giving a prophecy of the future.
Mm.
So the mark received on your hand is still a decision you make. Now, some people think that the decision's taken away. No, it's not. It's still the decision you make, but it's one of convenience. You might not be convinced it's fully right, but you go along with it. COVID's a good example of that, right?
Mm.
You might not have thought that the vaccine was a good idea, but you went along with it so you wouldn't lose your job or for whatever other reason.
Mm.
Right, some of us have paid for that, but many of us have made a decision based on the information we had. Okay, so you might not be fully convinced it's right, but for convenience, you go along with it. So the mark received on your forehead is the evidence of the kind of worship you've freely and willingly chosen. The mark on your right hand is the evidence of the kind of worship you've chosen to avoid the consequences of refusing it.
Mm.
You might not believe it's right, but you're going along with it. So what happens if you refuse the mark? So look, I haven't mentioned exactly what the mark is, but it's the outward evidence. It's behavioral, all right? So go back to listen to previous programs. Lots of people have spoken on the mark, and we talked about it as the way we worship. Either we worship the way God says or we worship the way man says. So what happens if you refuse the mark of the beast or the evidence that you're following false anti-God powers? Well, Revelation 13 is pretty clear. Let me read Revelation 13 and verse 15. It says, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And then it goes on saying, if you don't get the mark, you can't buy or sell. So if you can't buy or sell, what's going to happen to you, Jason?
You're going to get very hungry.
Yeah, you're very hungry. Very hungry. You'll be controlled financially if you can't buy. You can't eat.
Mm.
And that reminds me of two Bible stories, right? The first one, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Babylon, they were told they must show evidence of their obedience to worship the false gods of Nebuchadnezzar, or they die in the fire. Now, what was the evidence, Jason?
The evidence was they had to bow down, they had to kneel down and worship this statue.
They could have pretended to tie their sandals. They could have done all kinds of things, right? Mm. But they said, no, we are going to stand up. They made a stand, and they stood up. They chose to disobey the king but remained faithful to God, the King of Kings. And they were thrown into the furnace. But they lived to tell about it. So God was faithful and protected them through the trial.
Mm.
Okay? They went into the trial, but God protected them. Elijah, on the other hand, he remained faithful to the true God, but he was chased out of the kingdom. So he couldn't buy or sell. In the desert where he went, there were no shops.
It was beautiful that the birds came and brought bread. And he had water with a stream, I think, there as well.
That's it. God gave him everything he needed to survive. And the same will be true for those who seek to remain faithful to God regardless of the threats of mankind and the false religious powers of end-time Babylon. There are rewards for either choice. The rewards for choosing to follow the false religion of end-time Babylon is that your mortal life will be preserved, but your eternal life will be lost. The rewards of choosing to remain faithful to God in the end times will be that your mortal life may be lost. The threat will be there, but your eternal life will be sure. Which would you prefer?
I think I'd prefer the second option.
Me too. Me too. So God has always had his faithful followers, and God has always shown his faithfulness and patience to mankind. He's tried every way possible to make sure people have the information they need to make a free and rational decision about who they're going to serve. He won't force or coerce us to choose, though. But one day, we will be forced to make a decision, either for or against the powers of earth. How we prepare for that choice will make all the difference for that decision we actually make. Either we'll try and save our own lives, or we'll put our life in God's hands. So while God waits in his patience today, why not start preparing for the most important decision you'll ever make in this life and the one beyond? Who and how you'll worship. If you'd like help to do that, please let us know. But the three angels' urgent end times messages are there so we'll sit up and take notice and take the time that God knows that we need as humans to get to know him fully. And when we get to know him fully, we can make the informed decision about who we're going to worship.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, David, for presenting this. Remember our question, have you ever received an urgent and pressing message, and what did you do about it? We would love to hear from you. We can share your messages as well on air in our next episode. So do text us in on 0488 880 891.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Our free book offer is called Archangel, and it's by Miguel Valdivia. Throughout the history of the universe, angels have had an interesting and intimate interplay with humans. As God's messengers to a fallen world, they have watched and walked among men, invisible, powerful, guarding angels against the evil forces that surround us. Archangel examines the role played by angels in the great controversy, from the stories recorded of angelic intervention in Bible times to the coincidences in our own lives. These powerful stories challenge us to open our eyes to the angels who walk beside us, to recognize the ongoing war between good and evil. That's our book offer today. Text in TEM07, no spaces, TEM07, to 0488 880 891 to claim one of those books. David, I want to thank you, and it's been an interesting series, our four parts here on the three angels' messages, and we look forward to having you back in a couple of weeks' time, perhaps.
Looking forward to it.
No worries. Enjoy a little break, perhaps, and all the public holidays that are coming up. So, yeah, thank you for joining us today.
No worries. God bless.
As we go out today, this is a beautiful song by Carly Fletcher. It's called Choose Life. May you encounter Jesus more today and every day.
Each new day, God gives you a choice to make. Blessing or cursing, life or death, it's in your hands. The choice is yours to make. So what will you choose today? Therefore choose life, that you and your descendants may live? Will you love the Lord your God and obey his voice? For God is your life and the length of your days. So what will you choose? Will you choose life? Life or death, blessing or cursing, the choice is in your hands. How will you choose to live? And so this day, I have a choice to make. Blessing or cursing, life or death, how will I live? The choice is mine to make. I choose Jesus Christ and his way. And so I choose life, that me and my descendants may live. Therefore choose life, that you and your descendants may live. Will you love the Lord your God and obey his voice? For God is your life and the length of your days. So what will you choose? Will you choose life?
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.